to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show,
I was unable to snack.
If you're lucky, one of them will eventually get hurt.
When you got kids, let me tell you, it's not happening.
You're eating your bowl of ice cream on the toilet. Sweaty, sore.
Have you ever heard of the term banana peel?
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the Hungry Dads Podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
And tonight we have the five ways that being a dad makes you hungrier but healthier. Both you and I have young children. As a result, we are a little healthier.
And I think it's despite ourselves. It's not as if we're trying to.
Yeah, it's not a choice.
We are being forced to live a different lifestyle than we would voluntarily live on account of being dads. And it's been healthier for me than I might be left to my own devices.
Yeah, I think there's so much to think of when you're becoming a dad for the first time, especially, can I care for this human being? How do I do this? How do I do that? The last thing on my mind was, I'm not going to be able to eat like I used to. It didn't even occur to me. And now it's the reality of my daily life. So with that as background, let's just jump in with the five ways that Hugh Gallen and Rod Budget and many dads out there are hungrier, but healthier.
Number one.
A road trip can be a real drag.
For this past Christmas holiday, the Budget family made the bold decision of driving from Florida to Texas with three young kids in the minivan, about 2,000 miles round trip, and frankly, it went pretty smoothly, better than I expected. The bad news is I was unable to snack covertly, non-covertly, pig out at all, and as I think Hugh will agree with me, the whole meaning of a road trip is eating, snacking, and stopping, and gas stations, and fast food, pigging out. You know, when I was younger, I would lobby not to fly somewhere. I'd be like, let's drive, because I knew I was just going to be eating the whole way, and I don't mind driving. I've got lots of tips for road trips when you're single, when you're young, when you're able to take your time. I have faked many bathroom emergencies just to stop at McDonald's and go into the bathroom and see what I could do, but when I'm coming out, I'm getting a burger and some fries and a drink. When you got kids, let me tell you, it's not happening. You've got a lot of considerations. We had three young ones with us. If one of them was asleep, we wouldn't stop. You can't stop because they'll wake up and they'll start crying. So right off the bat, 90% of the time, at least one of them was asleep, which honestly is a good thing. But when it comes to eating, it's a terrible thing. Secondly, you can't just bring food into the car and not expect them to say, where's my food? Especially when they get older. Our oldest now is 5, and if I brought a burger into the car, she's going to flip out. She's going to say, where's my burger? Give me a bite, at the very least, which is annoying. And she's all the way in the back. I can't give her a bite. It's messy. So those two things really put a kibosh on most eating. You know, I was able to get gas. That's the one thing. You can't go anywhere without gas. So we're stopping when the arrow is on the E and we're getting gas and I'm going in and I'm getting a soda and some combos at the very least. And that's what happened.
That's a bare minimum success rate on a road trip eating scenario. That's bare bones.
I gotta tell you, Hugh, it was a sad scene. And it was a two-day trip each way. It was 4 total days of driving. And I think for the entire trip, I had like 3 sodas and some chips and combos. There was no fast food. There was no stashing things and eating candy in the car. It was tough. It was tough.
This really does turn the road trip on its head, because the major attractive feature of the road trip is you're packing snacks, you're picking up snacks, you're going to fast food places, you're going to roadside restaurants and things that you don't find otherwise. Other than the fact that you're trying to get somewhere, the entire experience is food-based, and what's great about it is you feel like you've earned that food or you deserve that food, because you're putting the energy into this trip, you're driving, you're in the car, you're a little bit bored, but you have the illusion that you're being productive as well, and you got nothing else to do.
And it's a reward. It's like something to look forward to. Like, yep. I'm going to drive 300 miles, but then at the end of it is McDonald's.
So stuffing your face is an essential part of that. But you're right. When there's kids in the car, you just can't do any of those things. And without that encouragement, a road trip can be a real drag.
But let's not forget, I'm healthier because of it.
Number two.
You can't just bring whatever you want into the home.
Well, Rod, there's another reason why I think that being a dad has made me overall hungrier, but healthier. In my day-to-day life, in my house, when I go grocery shopping, when my wife goes grocery shopping, all the foods that I really love to eat are what we call sometimes foods. And what I mean by sometimes foods is almost never foods. Sodas, potato chips, Cheetos, all the snacks that I would be able to get whenever I wanted once I became a grown-up. Now, those are not an option anymore. Not only does my wife want me to live healthier, which is lovely, but she doesn't want that food around the house for the kids. So these foods get into our house really on the rare occasion where maybe we're having friends over, so we will buy ice cream or cookies or chips. It's not to say we never have these things, but it's usually maybe one thing at a time. And I suppose it's not even that I can't buy them, but the fact is that I know that if I do buy them, it's going to be very dodgy to enjoy them. If I get it out, the kids are going to be hovering at my feet, wondering what it is, wanting some. So then I've got to go into covert eating territory, which is when you're eating your bowl of ice cream on the toilet while the kids bang on the door, wanting inside, wondering what you're doing. Well, I'd love to be king of my castle and have unfettered access to all these things that used to be staples in my cupboard. Now that I'm a dad, they're either banned or at best, I can have them from time to time. I've got my survival technique of covert eating, but it's not only hypocritical of me, but it just isn't as much fun.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the larger scale of the road trip. Even in your home, you can't just bring whatever you want into the home and not have the kids wanting it at all times.
Number three.
Going out to eat is a chore. Another way that I've gotten healthier over the years being a dad is not eating out as much or even ordering in as much. With kids, as one might imagine, going out to eat is a chore. Not only is it a chore, it's expensive. And generally, eating in the home is healthier. I had one situation recently that I hadn't thought of or run across before, but I think it's a good insight into just the things you don't think about as a hungry dad and going to a restaurant. I took our 2-year-old to McDonald's. It was a daddy-daughter date for the first time, and we were having a decent time, but we were a long way away from the free refills, and I had a soda. Our lovely 2-year-old did not want to get up for any reason. Or if I was going to make her get up, I think it was going to be a temper tantrum or she was going to run around the restaurant. But I needed a refill. Like,
you're trapped at that table with a 2-year-old.
I was trapped.
With an empty cup.
I had a decision to make.
Oh, that is torture.
Can I make it to the refill station and leave my 2-year-old sitting there? And to be fair, I did have a field of vision, a line of sight that I could see her at all times.
It still adds an additional challenge to the enjoyment of your soda. Yeah. Ugh.
And the thing I was worried about was other people seeing me or somebody not realizing that I was at the soda station and just seeing a 2-year-old sitting by themselves and freaking out, going up to her and being like, "What's wrong? Call the police." I went for it. I got my soda. But it's just an example of how I only got one refill, whereas if I was by myself, I'd get 3 or 4 probably. There I am being healthy again.
I think for a million different reasons, whether it's a McDonald's or a sit-down restaurant, when your kids are there, you're just not able to indulge as much. You're so busy juggling and tap dancing with those kids that you just throw the food in your mouth when it comes. You're certainly not ordering appetizers and desserts or as many drinks as you normally would.
You're right. The food is secondary when you're there with kids. The food is like an afterthought because you're so focused on keeping them happy, making sure they don't make a scene, making sure they're not making a mess, that you kind of like forget you're eating.
So then you'd think that ordering in might be a good solution for when you have kids, but having kids just adds one more layer to that impossible task of picking where to order from and then what to order.
Trying to order in for a family of 5, it's impossible. You're not going to please everybody. It's expensive.
At a certain point, we just throw our hands up and say, forget it, what's in the fridge. Ordering out, it's not a simple, fun decision anymore. It's a complicated mess, so we just don't do it. Does it make me hungry? Yes. Does it make me healthier? Yes. What do you think about a food truck? Do you think a food truck would be a good place to feed the family with the kids? Does it eliminate the stresses of the restaurant and the stresses of the ordering? Are there any new stresses that get added with the food truck? I feel like it's a solution. You don't seem as optimistic.
I think there are more stresses that you're not thinking of. It's a noisy environment. I can never hear. Like, it's hard to order up into that tiny little window. The kids aren't going to know what to get.
They can't see anything.
Like, they're going to be a little, like, scared of the truck even if they're too young. It's noisy. There's like propane tanks going. I've got a lot of experience with food trucks and I can just envision this. The other thing is, where are you going to sit and eat? It's messy. They give you a big cardboard container of slop. And even me, like, well, not even me because I'm messy, but I make a mess. So the kids, I'm just imagining them, like, dropping the cardboard.
And, yeah, you're right. They drop their food into the dirt, and then you're
screwed.
This
is a terrible idea. I don't know what you were thinking.
No, well, I'm going to put it to the test. It's winter now, but in the summer, I'm going to bring the Gallen family to a food truck and report back. I'm optimistic.
This could be a good opportunity for a live recording. I want to hear the live visitation to the food
truck. The Gallen food truck family visit. Stay tuned, folks.
Number 4.
For the holidays, a fourth way that I think being a dad has made me hungrier but healthier becomes apparent during the holidays. Of course, you're able to indulge a little bit more, but if I compare it to the times before I had kids, I can tell you it's not even close. Number one, I gotta set a good example for the kids. I can't eat 50 cookies in a day. I just can't, because every time I eat one, they're gonna get one. So I've gotta keep that in control. We touched on that before. But also, for the holidays, if I eat like I like to eat, I'm just going to go comatose. I'm just done. I'm done for the day. I'm bloated. I'm constantly bloated. I'm constantly stuffed. I'm constantly wanting to nap. And my kids, they don't stop.
Yeah.
They need attention all the time. So whether we're at home for the holidays or somewhere else for the holidays, I can't just stuff myself to the point where I can plop in front of the TV, because I literally know there's going to be a couple rounds of someone jumping on my stomach soon. And so I've got to stay in parenting mode. I can't eat something that I know is going to send me to the bathroom every 10 minutes, whereas otherwise I don't care.
Right.
But I got to be on like a parent.
Even the holiday meals, I've found, I can't really enjoy them much the same way as eating in a restaurant. The kids require so much attention. I'm always serving them and making sure they have the right thing, and then they're always asking for something else, or something's not right, or they don't like something. And I can't pile food onto my plate and sit down in the corner and just dig in.
Number 5.
This all becomes harder than like a P90X workout.
And last, this one has less to do with food and more to do with the physical aspect of being healthy. As Hugh knows, kids in general are just a lot of work to keep up with. They have unlimited energy. I have limited energy, and they're always wanting to play games. They're always wanting me to do these different tricks and fun things. And here's the deal. I would do these gladly if I could do it once or twice and be done with it. But, you know, as we've talked about, Hugh, once you get started with them, they're not going to quit. Our 5-year-old's favorite now is me spinning her around by the arms. Like, I'll just stand and spin like a helicopter. And it's tiring and it hurts my back. And she'll say, "More, more, faster, faster, faster. The fastest one ever." And I get dizzy, like, honestly, like, I get dizzy when I stop and I, like, stumble around our yard and I don't feel good and it gives me a headache. The younger one, the 2-year-old, apparently, have you ever heard of the term banana peel?
No, what's banana peel?
Somebody, I think it's a cool term, but one of her friends calls, you know, throwing the kid up in the air and then catching them a banana peel.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Which is pretty awesome, yeah, yeah. I think, yeah. But she's always wanting to do banana peels. And here's the real problem. Now the 5-year-old sees me playing with a 2-year-old, doing things that I can do with a toddler that weighs 20 pounds. But now she weighs 45 pounds, but she wants me to do the same things. And I feel kind of compelled to do them because I'm a cool dad. And I don't want to disappoint her. But throwing her up in the air and catching her multiple times? Forget about it. I'm done.
This all becomes harder than like a P90X workout. A P90X workout, they motivate you. They yell at you to keep going, to keep going. Don't stop. Well, that's exactly what your kids do. They just won't ever stop. And the only way any of these games stop is either with a temper tantrum, because you have to stop because you're going to collapse and they scream, or if you're lucky, one of them will eventually get hurt and they'll want to stop voluntarily. That's the best possible scenario you can hope for.
I've even tried feigning injury. That was a strategy of mine, and they don't care.
They don't care one bit.
I started limping around. I was like, "My knee hurts. Come on." I'm like,
"Do it. Do it." I have to think really hard before I do anything fun with my kids. I have to think, do I really want to do this? Because it's not going to end well. It never ends well, other than the fact that it ends up with me sweaty, sore, and having worked out on a day where I'm not going to otherwise work out. So even though it's against my will and it's somewhat physical torture, I guess we can't argue that it does make us healthier.
I'd just like to say at this point, because these audio files will live probably indefinitely on the internet that kids, dad loves you.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun. I am in pain right now, but when you're 16 years old, I will not be doing banana peels.
Hungry dad.
Rod, you probably remember in episode 56, we talked about 10 urban food legends, and I brought up one that you'd never heard of before. It was the General Motors diet. Do you remember the General Motors diet?
Of course I remember this. I've been waiting on pins and needles to hear the results of the Hugh Gallon execution of said diet.
I revealed on episode 56 that I had completed the General Motors diet. As promised, I'm here to reveal what I found out doing this diet. The reason the diet caught my attention is largely because of the name and the purported origin. The legend is that General Motors, yes, General Motors, the company that makes cars, allegedly created a diet plan for its employees. Rod, you have the explanation of this diet in front of you. Could you just read the first paragraph of where this came from for our listeners' benefit?
General Motors Weight Loss Diet Program. The following diet and health program was developed for employees and dependents of General Motors, Inc., and is intended for their exclusive use. This program was developed in conjunction with a grant from U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Food and Drug Administration. It was field-tested at the Johns Hopkins Research Center and was approved for distribution by the Board of Directors, General Motors Corp., at a general meeting on August 15, 1985. General Motors Corp. wholly endorses this program and is making it available to all employees and families. This program will be available at all General Motors food service facilities. It is management's intention to facilitate a wellness and fitness program for everyone. This program is designed for a target weight loss of 10 to 17 pounds per week. It will also improve your attitudes and emotions because of its cleansing systematic effects.
So, Rod, does this seem real to you?
I want it to be real, but it seems a little too weird. It seems a little too like 1930s or 1940s. If it was that far in the past, I would definitely think it's real. But 85 wasn't that long ago, and it seems a little wacky to me.
If it's not real, where does this come from? Who sat down and wrote this, if it's a hoax or a gag?
My guess would be someone came up with it, whether it be a doctor or a purported nutritionist, or maybe just an individual, and perhaps they worked for General Motors, and a lot of the employees kind of followed them or tried it, and that's how it got attached to General Motors. I don't really know.
Well, someone went through the trouble to describe a general meeting of the board of directors on August 15th, 1985. Now, I'm not saying that's proof that it's true, but it's proof that it's either true or that someone, in my opinion, went out of their way to create a ridiculous hoax. A completely meaningless, senseless hoax, which, by the way, are what the best hoaxes are. I think the jury's out as to whether or not this could be real or not. But let's continue. First and foremost, did I lose 10 to 17 pounds? Yes. Yes, I did.
Wow.
In 7 days, I think I lost just about 10 pounds.
10 pounds in a week is a lot. That's a lot of weight.
And I will say this. I wasn't hungry. I also did another diet stunt for episode 24. I did a 3-day juicing cleanse where I drank only juice. If you didn't hear that one, check out episode 24 because I actually did some live recordings of my reactions and my basic weak state, exhausted without being able to chew for 3 days. This one, I wasn't hungry and I wasn't really exhausted. So to that point, I guess it was successful, and I did lose 10 pounds in a week. I never imagined it would be 10 pounds that I'd keep off, and I didn't in any real way. And I didn't do it for weight loss purposes. I really just did it because I thought this was such an interesting diet. What's interesting about it is that it has unlimited amounts of food you can eat, including fruit, and then it has a potato on a day. A lot of diets don't let you have the starch. And then on one day, it lets you eat unlimited beef.
Yeah. The effectiveness of this 7-day plan is that the food eaten burns more calories than they give to the body in caloric value. This plan can be used as often as you like, without any fear of complications. It is designed to flush your system of impurities and give you a feeling of well-being. After 7 days, you will begin to feel lighter, because you will be lighter by at least 10 pounds. You will have an abundance of energy and an improved disposition.
Okay, so we're just about to get into the nuts and bolts of this diet, which is not a completely crazy diet. It's not like it's raw bugs or anything like that, but it's hardly a standard diet.
It looks like there's a couple of overarching rules. During the first 7 days, you must abstain from all alcohol, and you must drink 10 glasses of water each day.
Yes.
Although it doesn't indicate the size of the glasses.
Yes, yes.
Day one. all fruits except bananas. Your first day will consist of all the fruits you want. It is strongly suggested that you consume lots of melons the first day, especially watermelon and a loop. Loop, what's
that? I believe that might be corporate talk for cantaloupe.
A loop. Especially watermelon and a...
A loop, as they say.
If you limit your fruit consumption to melons, your chances of losing 3 pounds on the first day are very good. On day one, you are preparing your system for the upcoming program. Your only source of nutrition is fresh or canned fruits. Fruits are nature's perfect food. They provide everything you could possibly want to sustain life, except total balance and variety.
So they don't really provide everything you could want for sustained life.
Yeah.
So the first day of fruits I found pretty easy. I like fruits, I can eat lots of fruits. It's day one, so it's relatively easy.
Day two, all vegetables. You're encouraged to eat until you are stuffed with all the raw or cooked vegetables of your choice. There is no limit on the amount or type. For your complex carbohydrate, you will start day two with a large baked potato for breakfast. You may top the potato with one pat of butter. The fix of complex carbohydrates coupled with an oil dose. This is taken in the morning for energy and balance. The rest of day two consists of vegetables which are virtually calorie-free and provide essential nutrients and fiber.
Day two was tough. That happened to be a work day. I ate a baked potato for breakfast. So I had to wake up and warm up a baked potato and eat it during my commute with a pat of butter, of course. And then I went on my day eating raw vegetables all day at work, which by the time you get home for dinner, you're not really looking forward to a plate of vegetables. So this was one of the harder days. I would have probably preferred to go hungry than keep eating vegetables into the night. But by the end of the day, I was pretty much over vegetables.
Day three, a mixture of fruits and vegetables of your choice. Any amount, any quantity. No bananas yet. No potatoes today. Day 3 eliminates the potato, because you get your carbohydrates from the fruits. Your system is now prepared to start burning excess pounds. You will still have cravings, which should start diminished by day 4.
The fruits are really the savior on this one. Of course, naturally, I know I can't just eat all fruits. The point is, I have to eat some vegetables, too. If I compare it to the juicing experience that I talked about in 23, it's not even close. This is hardly miserable. I'm still getting to eat plenty of food. It just happens to be all fruits and vegetables, which isn't great, but it isn't horrible, honestly. Whereas the juice diet, I can say by day 2, I was pretty miserable. I was pretty exhausted.
I think day 3 would be pretty tough for me, just hypothetically, because other than the potato, you've really only had fruits or vegetables for 3 days now. You're kind of in the middle of the diet, but you still have a ways to go. So that seems like psychologically would be a bit tough.
Yeah, and you really do get tired of the taste of the same things over and over. I prepared a lot of vegetables early on. That's the other thing, is nothing other than raw fruits and vegetables, nothing comes easy. So you get tired of raw fruits and vegetables. So trying to bake zucchini, you know, and preparing them in different ways took a fair amount of energy. I got burned out on it quickly.
Day 4, bananas and milk. Today you will eat as many as 8 bananas and drink 3 glasses of milk. This will be combined with the special soup, which may be eaten in limited quantities. Bananas, milk, and soup sound the strangest and least desirable. You're in for a surprise. You probably will not eat all the bananas allowed.
I did.
But they are there for the potassium you have lost, and the sodium you may have missed the past 3 days. You will notice a definite loss of desire for sweets. You will be surprised how easy this day will go.
Yeah, I don't know if I was surprised how easy it went. I could have eaten all 8 bananas before noon. I just knew I had to give myself something to look forward to. So I downed 3 bananas, like, for breakfast, and then powered through the rest of the day. You're allowed to eat bananas and the GM Wonder Soup, which is made up of onions, green peppers, tomatoes, cabbage, celery. It's basically one of these fat-burning soups that supposedly burns more calories than it puts in you. A lot of diets have those. I suppose it's tasty enough for some people, but those are all things I don't like in a cooked form. So I really was choking this stuff down.
And did you notice a, quote, definite loss of desire for sweets?
No.
Day 5. Today is feast day. You will eat beef and tomatoes. Eat 2 10-ounce portions of lean beef. Hamburger is okay. Combine this with 6 whole tomatoes. On day 5, you must increase your water intake by 1 quart. This is to cleanse your system of the uric acid you will be producing. The beef is for iron and proteins. The tomatoes are for digestion and fiber. Lots and lots of water purifies your system. You should notice colorless urine today.
I did.
Good, good. Your allowance calls for the equivalent of 5 quarter pounders. Do not feel you have to eat all this beef. You must eat the 6 tomatoes, though.
That last sentence is intimidating to me.
Yeah, you must.
And I did. It felt like 6 tomatoes by the end of it.
Tomatoes are dense.
The first couple I ate alone. I ate a couple tomatoes in the morning just to get through it. I'm like, okay, I'm a third of the way through my daily tomato intake. And then I think I took the next 2 and I ate them with some of the beef, thinking that would just mix it up. And then I still had 2 tomatoes to go at, like, dinner time, and I really didn't want them. The beef was surprisingly unsatisfying at this point. Literally just hamburger with maybe some salt and pepper on it.
Yeah.
You feel like you've earned a reward, and your reward is beef and tomatoes.
Day 6. Beef and vegetables. Today you may eat an unlimited amount of beef and vegetables. Eat to your heart's content. By now your system is in a total weight loss inclination. There should be a noticeable difference in the way you look today compared to day 1.
Yeah, I guess probably. I mean, diet was weighing on me. I probably did lose some weight, but I don't think I looked better.
Day 7. Today your food intake will consist of brown rice, fruit juices, and all the vegetables you care to consume. Day 7 finished off the program like a good cigar used to finish off Victorian meals, except much healthier. You have your system under control, and it should thank you for the flushing and cleaning you just gave it.
It didn't say how much fruit juice.
Did you drink 5 gallons of
That's
apple
the thing.
Juice?
I tried not to abuse it, because I could have just drank gallons and gallons of apple juice. Kind of like the beef in the prior days, the brown rice for this day was not as exciting as I'd have hoped it would be. You'd think that at this point, oh, brown rice is going to taste amazing. Meh, especially since I had to mix it with more vegetables. So all it really served to do was just kind of cut the vegetables a little bit from the harshness that I've been experiencing in vegetables.
Tomorrow morning will be 10 to 17 pounds lighter than 1 week ago. You may repeat this program as often as you like. However, it is suggested that you are allowed 2 glasses of white wine in addition to the instructions on the program. You may substitute champagne for white wine. Under no circumstances are you to drink any other alcoholic beverages, with the exception of beer, which is allowed. Any liquor, such as bourbon, vodka, or rum, is forbidden. Cream drinks are especially forbidden. You may have an occasional cordial, such as creme de menthe or schnapps, but you must always limit yourself to 2 drinks. If you wine, drink only wine that day. If you have beer, drink only beer that day, etc. Alcohol adds empty calories to your diet. However, after the first week, it will help your digestion and settle your stomach. That's where it starts sounding fake.
So did someone just very artfully write this ridiculous thing? Because here's the counter argument to it being fake. People actually do it. It's not a wildly successful diet, but it's amongst real diets people engage in.
Just like it is suggested that you are allowed 2 glasses of white wine, you may substitute champagne for white wine. It seems very specific.
Does it seem like a board of directors for a corporation would write this the way it's written?
Actually, when you put it that way, yes, it kind of does. Like a lot of people.
You can kind of see it being written like this by committee.
Somebody's like, why about champagne? Okay.
Okay, throw champagne in there. Exactly.
Let's take a vote on champagne.
Well, what about beer? Beer only if you can have only beer that day. Okay. What about a creme de menthe?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, you can have a creme de menthe and schnapps. I know someone's going to say schnapps.
Well, it says cream drinks are especially forbidden, but you may have creme de menthe.
Exactly, so it doesn't make any sense. I think at this point, Rod, I want to lead you to our Hungry Dad's Dropbox, and I'd like you to click on a video, GM Diet.
This is very dramatic.
I took a photograph of all the food, day by day.
Jesus.
All the vegetables for day 1, all the fruits for day 2, all the fruits and vegetables for day 3, my bananas and milk for day 4, my feast of beef and tomatoes for day 5, my beef and vegetables for day 6, and then my rice and fruit juices for the last day. It's all visually represented in a catchy little video, sort of an animation. Check it out on hungrydads.com.
My main takeaway is, it looks like a lot of food when you're just watching it. Like, that's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food, and it takes that much food to keep me full when I'm not eating any breads or any meats. By the way, that was one of my other goals too, is I didn't want to go hungry. If I want to lose weight, I can go hungry. That's one way to do it. But in theory, I wanted to see if this was a diet where you could lose weight by not going hungry. And I really didn't go hungry, because if I wanted more fruit, I ate more fruit. I don't know, I'd eat 6 oranges in a sitting if I was hungry. I'd just eat more apples. I'd eat more pears. While I don't love vegetables, if it's all I'm allowed to eat, I'll just go to town on celery and carrots. And I ate pretty much everything you see in this video.
A lot of tomatoes.
I guess I'd call this thing a success because I wasn't hungry, I wasn't miserable, and I did lose the weight. Was it anything I was ready to repeat a second week? Absolutely not. Was it something that I was able to continue and like continue to maintain my weight? Not really. I mean, I put the weight back on pretty quickly, which is back to my equilibrium weight. Just like any other diet, it's really not a lifestyle change.
That's why it's even more interesting to me that GM potentially endorsed it, because it's obviously not sustainable. It seems like the type of thing, if you need to lose 10 to 17 pounds for whatever reason in a quick amount of time, you can do it. But if they're wanting their workers to have more stamina and be in better shape, you know, maybe on the assembly line, this doesn't seem like the way to do it.
I'm glad you mentioned the assembly line worker, because can you really imagine pitching this to your greasy hand, blue collar, run-of-the-mill assembly line worker in 1985 and expect it to catch on? And that's another reason I can't imagine any board of directors in their right mind would have put this together. On the other hand, I tell you one reason why I kind of believe it. In college, I took courses on Japanese management, and there was a period in America where it was realized that the Japanese had figured out management, especially of industrial factories and things like that, and they had lots of parts of their culture which were all-inclusive of lifestyle, and there were like exercise sessions. If you ever seen the movie Gung Ho?
Of course.
With Michael Keaton, they tried to get their workers to like do group exercises and things, and this sounds like that to me. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine GM having heard that Nissan did this, so they tried to make an American version of it. I go back and forth on the reasons why this may or may not exist.
It does seem kind of, it's a different culture and a different way of looking at things, so maybe they did try to hack it from somebody else.
Well, this might clinch it, but not for me. In 2009, the New York Times did do an article on the General Motors diet, and the writer of the article spoke with an executive at GM who said that it never had any real connection with GM. He basically disavowed any connection to it and chalked it up as urban legend. That certainly doesn't clinch it for me, because if I were GM, if I could separate myself from this, I would. I suppose if anyone really cared, maybe they'd be able to go back on some records, some official GM records, and find the truth. So maybe the truth will never come, or maybe the truth has come, but I suppose I choose to believe, because I think it's way more interesting that way. And if it's not that way, then I will use the power of these airwaves. If you are the one who created GM diet as a hoax, please write in and let us know why you did this. I have to understand the origin of this. So I choose to believe.
There must be some minutes left from the board of directors meeting on August 15th, 1985. So
I think we might have to buy some stock in GM before we can request this. So let's take our Hungry Dad's petty cash and put it towards one share of GM stock so we have the right to their records.
I don't know if we can afford that. Hungry Dad. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
Music for this episode was by the amazing Outsiders, WWIINSTR. Check them out on soundcloud.com/outsiders with an S, WWIINSTR.
Tomatoes are dense. Tomatoes are dense. Tomatoes are dense.